you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 21st, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Alleged human rights abuses in Zimbabwe are now straining relations between Zimbabwe and the European Union, which recently removed targeted sanctions imposed on some members of the ruling ZANU-PF party.
I'm glad to see the Europeans recognizing that the human rights and democracy conditions in Zimbabwe are problematic. I think they jumped the gun in easing their sanctions policy.
Expelled, ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa says ousted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru is failing to protect her supporters who were booted out of the ruling party for allegedly planning to topple President Robert Mugabe.
I'm glad to see the Europeans recognizing that the human rights and democracy conditions in Zimbabwe are problematic. I think they jumped the gun in easing their sanctions policy.
And the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has vowed to fight for the empowerment of women and girls worldwide.
Alleged human rights abuses in Zimbabwe are now straining relations between Zimbabwe and the European Union, or EU, which removed targeted sanctions imposed on some members of the ruling ZANU-PF party a few months ago, claiming that such activities had subsided in the troubled Southern African nation. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu has more details.
In a press statement released today, the EU Parliament raised a serious concern with the alleged rise in political violence in the country and called upon Harare to ensure that human rights activist Itai Dzamara, who was abducted by unknown assailants in March, is found immediately. The EU Parliament said Zimbabwe must comply with a High Court order that urged Harare to search for Dzamara and take all necessary measures to find him. The EU parliamentarians noted that they are concerned by reports from human rights groups that political violence was once again on the increase in the country. Human rights groups are pointing to the alleged rise of political violence in Urungwe West ahead of the June 10 parliamentary by-election in the constituency. The violence is allegedly state-sponsored. In a sign that ties with Harare are strained, the lawmakers deplored the absence of a strong and enforceable human rights clause in the interim economic partnership agreement signed between Harare and the EU to normalize ties after a 13-year hiatus. Chief Operating Officer Todd Moss of the Center for Global Development, a Washington-based think tank, says the EU blundered in normalizing ties with Harare.
I think they jumped the gun in easing their sanctions policy and embracing engagement with the regime that was frankly not ready yet to adhere to international norms that the Europeans and a lot of their allies would expect.
But was the EU move not a sign that targeted sanctions had failed? Moss responds.
There's nothing wrong with trying different policy approaches to try to achieve an outcome. However, there's certainly a line where you can cross where you're actually helping a government to suppress its own people, to destroy its own economy, and where your help is actually counterproductive. I don't understand exactly what the Europeans were thinking in moving so swiftly and aggressively in trying to re-embrace the regime. However, I think it's now pretty clear the European move was very, very premature and almost certainly a mistake.
Dzamara's lawyer, Charles Kwaramba of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, says the state is not doing enough to find Dzamara.
Well, right now there is nothing. We haven't heard anything from the police. In fact, the report that they should have filed by last week, we have not yet received it, so there is nothing. And as far as we are concerned, there's very little effort, and this is why we're still desperately looking for him.
Opposition Movement for Democratic Change, or MDCT leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, concurs.
Well, I don't know whether the state is doing enough. All we know is that the state is complicit in the disappearance of Dzamara and that nothing has been done to pursue vigorously to establish his whereabouts.
But Deputy Justice Minister Ziyambi Ziyambi says those criticizing the police are misguided.
The problem with any crime is if it's committed and the police are not there, which ordinarily they won't be there, they rely on witnesses to tell them what transpired. Now, if those people who were there are not giving any meaningful information, that can lead us to where he is. There's nothing that we can do as a police. We do not know whether he's in Zimbabwe, whether he skipped the border, or whether he's wherever he is. We do not know until anyone who saw him can give us a lead where he is.
Itai's brother, Patson Zamara, says police are not doing enough to find him. He says the family is heartbroken. We asked the Patson if it is true that they are considering hiring a private investigator.
Well, definitely, because we feel that the fundamental responsibility of the government is to protect its citizens. And due to the fact that they have not been forthcoming as we expect, I think we left with no option.
The EU first imposed the sanctions against Zimbabwe in 2002 over its human rights record, but decided to ease them in the hope that this would encourage President Robert Mugabe to introduce some tangible political and related reforms. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
Expelled ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa says ousted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru is failing to protect his supporters who were booted out of the ruling party for allegedly planning to topple President Robert Mugabe. Mliswa told journalists in Harare today that Ms. Mujuru's supporters of her alleged new political movement, believed to be named ZANU-PF People First, are concerned about his silence on violence in Urungwe West, where he is contesting as an independent candidate, and other regions.
Mujuru has been quiet. But you know, for me, if I have to be honest with you, I believe in leaders who stand up for people. You know, what I do for Urungwe West is the people there. You know, and if you go through the list of the number of people who suffered because they were allegedly behind her, there are many. You know, I sat down with my uncle, and I said to him, you were part of the Politburo. When I was suspended as chairman, what did you say? If I was said to belong to Mujuru, what did she say? If SK was said to be on our side, what did he say? You, a sector of admission, what did you say? And the rest of the members, what did they say? They said nothing. We were innocent. They did not defend us. They did not stand for us. We are still innocent. So I don't believe in such leadership. That's for me. Yes, there are others who probably conform to such leadership. I don't. I believe in leaders who stand up for the right things.
But Gumbo, who has been speaking on behalf of Ms. Mujuru following their expulsion from ZANU-PF, was quick to rebuke Mliswa, saying he is free to join any party if he feels that the former vice president is not doing anything to cater for his political needs.
She's never said that people should join you. He has been quiet all this time, and there are people who feel very strongly that she is a case. She has proven that she is a mature, good leader. And so if she is a very rebel, it's unfortunate. It might be just the leader and perhaps a few other people, but the majority of the people who support Mujuru, they think she, what she doing is correct. We work with her ourselves, and we think she is right. So if the leader is not happy, well, it's too bad. But as we said before, we accept the democratic right to do whatever he likes. But please, we don't want him to be talking about other people making names and so on, or trying to find fault with other leaders.
So now, when is Mrs. Mujuru maybe coming out, you know, in the open to say she's actually doing this and that? Do you have any timeline?
She'll come out in the open when it's suitable to her. You don't force someone to come out of something when she's not ready. She'll come out when she's ready.
That was former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Ms. Mujuru was ousted from the party last December together with some senior members, including former party spokesman Rugare Gumbo and former secretary for administration Didmus Mutasa. Some critics have been infuriated by Ms. Mujuru's delay in announcing her next move following her ouster, noting that she appears to be running out of ideas. Studio 7 could not reach the former vice president for comment as her mobile phone was switched off. Stay tuned as we will give you more details about violence ahead of the June parliamentary by-elections.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has vowed to fight for the empowerment of women and girls worldwide at a time when the organization has raised $2.3 billion for various projects. The foundation has a large number of programs in developed and developing nations. It is against this background that the co-chair and trustee of the foundation, Melinda Gates, says they have put women's issues high on their agenda with a goal of ensuring that 120 million women worldwide will voluntarily access contraceptives by year 2020. Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye has more details.
Gates, who is wife of billionaire businessman Bill Gates, told delegates at a sold-out event in Washington, D.C. yesterday, entitled Smart Women, Smart Power, a conversation with Melinda Gates, Women and Girls, Engines for Development, said that empowering women and girls is a passion she has had after visiting Africa a few years ago and witnessing some situations that she could have a part in changing. She said some of the issues resulted in the organization's move to put women's issues on the agenda. Gates said despite being a devout Catholic herself, she believes that women can use contraceptive as an empowerment tool as they play a critical role in running families.
A lot of women will tell you they're using it covertly because they'll say to you, it's, you know, literally I had a woman in Niger say to me, look at what I have. I have five children. My husband has gone off to try and get work. Look at my farm. I have nothing. How can I feed these kids? I can't have another child. It's not fair to these kids. And so it was this life and death crisis for them and their families. And when I would come home, I started to look at the global statistics. And it was really odd because, again, the statistics were weird. It was said that contraceptives were stocked in.
Although Catholics are opposed to the use of contraceptives, Gates also said research has shown that women make a lot of investments for their children and families, and it was therefore important for them to be also empowered through various projects.
And so we know, from this we do know from good research, for every marginal dollar a woman gets, she's 90% more likely to plow it back in her family's hands than her husband is. She's the one that makes those deep investments in health and in education for her kids.
Among some of the projects being done by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in Africa is an urban poverty special initiative, which focuses on building the capacity of community organizations focusing on the needs of the poor. In Zimbabwe, the organization recently handed over 480 housing units built at a cost of $5 million in Harare's Dzivarasekwa suburb, meant for the poor and displaced victims of the state-sanctioned 2005 Operation Murambatshina or Operation Clean Filth, which left thousands of people homeless. The local authority says it will adopt the foundation's model to upgrade more than 60 slums in the country's capital city. Gates, who was hosted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, said they always respect the culture of people where they are implementing such projects in order to effectively engage communities and cater for their needs. She said their projects aimed at empowering girls and women include mobile phone banking, which has become popular in some African nations as they are saving money through using modern technology.
Well, cell phones change things for people, both in terms of the information they can get, and the mobile money systems are being built out where you can start to save $1 a day, $2 a day, and it hooks up to a bank account. Mm-hmm. That is a game changer for
a man
or woman.
Gates, who has a bachelor's degree in computer science and economics and a master's degree in business administration, told delegates that although her organization started with a research-based thrust, it is now concentrating on delivery and has added and prioritized women and girls in their agenda in order to empower them. She further noted that the foundation recently asked for proposals worldwide for innovative ideas on investing in women and girls and received an overwhelming response from the developing world. Her organization, she said, will fund some of the proposed projects.
We got 1,700 proposals from just the developing world, 600 of which were amazing and worth funding.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is involved in philanthropic work worldwide, although most of its work is in developing nations, where they're engaged in areas like women empowerment, education, health, and food security, amongst several others. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Marvelous Mplanganyahuye.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
the villagers speak out on violence in Hurungwe West ahead of a parliamentary by-election.
A closer look at the friction in the ruling ZANU-PF party.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Islamic State insurgents overran the ancient Syrian city of Palmyra and its historic Roman-era ruins on Thursday, leaving the militants in control of half of Syria.
Qatar, host of the 2022 World Cup, has failed to improve conditions for migrant workers, according to an international rights group.
Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza has told the nation that upcoming elections will take place in peace and insisted that recent unrest in the capital, Bujumbura, is not representative of the rest of the country, even as the protests continued.
China's Navy is reported to have issued 8 warning messages to a U.S. military surveillance plane that passed over a group of man-made islands Beijing is using to secure its sweeping territorial claims in the disputed South China Sea.
The western U.S. state of California has declared a state of emergency for an area of coastline hit with one of the worst oil spills in the state's recent history.
And U.S. President Barack Obama meets at the White House today with Tunisian President Beji Caid Essebsi to help underscore Washington's support for the country's democratic transition.
Some villagers in Hurungwe West constituency, currently ravaged by political violence, allegedly being perpetrated by suspected supporters of President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party ahead of a local poll, say they will vote for a candidate of their choice in the forthcoming parliamentary by-elections set for June 10th. Our correspondent, Arthur Chigwariwa, has more details from the Mashonaland West provincial capital, Chinoy.
Headman Alec Munava, who was allegedly beaten up by suspected ZANU-PF youth at Nyamunga school rally in Sengwe communal lands a fortnight ago and left for dead, says the current political violence will not prevent villagers from voting for a candidate of their choice.
I think the beating of 26th of April in Hurungwe West, it doesn't change my mind, simply because we always support Honorable Temba Muriswa, because Temba Muriswa is flexible. Anyone who's got itch or have a problem, he can solve that problem without asking some questions.
Munawa says he spent 2 nights in the bush fearing for his life. He claims that the ruling party is forcing local people to attend endless meetings every day in a constituency that is up for grabs following the expulsion of Temba Muliswa from ZANU-PF for allegedly backing a faction said to be led by former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. ZANU-PF accused Mrs. Mujuru of attempting to topple President Mugabe at the party's elective congress last December. She has since dismissed these allegations as false and misleading amid reports that she is planning to challenge President Mugabe in the 2018 presidential election. Munawa says villagers, gripped by fear, have abandoned their fields in order to attend the meetings at the time when they should be harvesting their crops.
Yes, there is a meeting every day in the constituents, but the people who are living in that constituents, they are a hard rock to crack. Their mind is on the previous Honorable Temba Muriswa.
Former Hurungwe West Member of Parliament Severino Chambati of Movement for Democratic Change Renewal Team concurs, noting that the political violence in the constituents is being allegedly spearheaded by ZANU-PF supporters. But Chambati says the violence will not change the minds of the people because this happened in 2008, but he managed to wrestle the city from ZANU-PF.
The violence does not affect Muliso. It affects the ruling party.
These views are also echoed by MDCT Provincial Organizing Secretary Wilson Makanyaire, who believes that independent candidate Muliswa is likely to win the seat as local people don't like the imposition of candidates. Makanyaire says Hurungwe West is an area where ZIPRA forces, the armed wing of the former Liberation Party ZAPU, operated in the 1970s, and that the spirit of togetherness shown during the time is now among the people like when they were fighting against the colonial Ian Smith regime.
My father was ZIPRA. He's a former veteran, and I remember when I was a kid, that was the praying ground of the then politics. That's a real fact. And Hurungwe West had never been ZANU-PF. And I only given a chance of being abused and forced to support ZANU-PF.
Makanyaire, who lost to Muliswa in the last harmonized parliamentary election, says villagers are expected to vote for development and shun candidates perpetrating violence.
It is up to the people. My comment there is ZANU-PF must live and respect the people's will. What is disappointing there, Hurungwe West people have voted for people whom they wanted, and they have now expelled him. And it is my concern as a citizen of Zimbabwe that ZANU-PF must not be left taking people for granted. They must learn to respect some people's as a constitutional right to vote.
Muliswa is optimistic that despite the violence and intimidation of the local people, he will win, as he has a lot that he has done for the people of Hurungwe West.
It does not need a rocket scientist to say that they will support an MP who they've seen work, who has reunited them. I've never unleashed terror on them. If there's anything I said, no violence, let's work together. If you speak to Honorable Chambati, even Comrade Makanyaire, he will tell you very well that our elections were peaceful. There was never violence. And people appreciated that.
But ZANU-PF youth Patrick Goredema, who is helping in campaigning for the party's candidate, Kit Guja, says he is a candidate to win the elections because he is backed by the former Liberation Party that brought independence and development in rural areas.
We have clear-cut policies that represent the people of Zimbabwe. Temba Mliswa is an independent candidate who has nothing to offer to the electorate, and development that he preaches that he brought to Hurungwe, it was brought by ZANU-PF, not him.
Goredema says it is untrue that ZANU-PF members are engaged in violence activities in the region. Human rights activists say the Human Rights Commission should investigate political disturbances in Hurungwe West, where Muliswa supporters are being allegedly targeted by ruling party members. The chairman of the commission, Elasto Mugwadi, says they have visited the area and are preparing a report that will be made public. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Ata Chigoriwa.
Meanwhile, some ZANU-PF stalwarts are allegedly fighting over the control of the party ahead of the parliamentary by-elections in Harare and other regions. The party's national political commissar, Sevia Kasukwere, has been accused by party activists of imposing Harare East candidate Terence Mukupe. Another ZANU-PF candidate, Mavis Gumbo, was ditched at the last minute by the ruling party after Mr. Mugabe allegedly intervened.
Apart from that, statements made by Information Minister recently that Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa is not a President Robert Mugabe's heir apparent has sent tongues wagging in the party, with some war veterans upping their chorus in calling for his ouster. They claim that he is working with foreign governments in trying to topple the president. Kasuku Were says these allegations are being made by hopeless drunkards. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo reached Africa Confidential magazine editor Patrick Smith, who says this is the unfinished business from the division of the ruling party, which split wide open ahead of its elective congress last year.
I think it's a very important moment for the party, and I think it raises questions about the strength of the centre. I mean, obviously, President Mugabe personifies ZANU for many Zimbabweans, and he has been pushed on several occasions to come out publicly and condemn the faction fighting. The fact that it hasn't stopped, I think, does raise questions about the party management and also about the allegiance to the party.
Do you think that this will have any implications moving forward in regards to how ZANU-PF functions itself, looking at even the by-elections coming up?
Well, it's said that voters don't like backing divided parties. But at the moment, I mean, the Zimbabwean voters face divisions on both sides, on the ruling party side and on the opposition party side. The Mugabe, Mnangagwa faction, whatever you want to group, whatever you want to phrase it, is in the ascendant. There's no question about that. They've got the party congress behind them. They've got the numbers behind them. So I think it's a test of that political reality. Which way do the voters go when they're faced with a by-election? Do they vote for the group that is on top of the party, or do they vote for some kind of intra-party protest? And I think that's one of the reasons why these by-elections are going to be quite important. The other alternative is you get a very, very low turnout, and people just are frustrated and think one should say that the economic conditions now in the country are generally regarded as bad as they were in the run-up and around the 2008 elections, before the Zim dollar was suspended and so on. So a lot of people are very dissatisfied and very unhappy with politicians in general right now. And that may turn into a protest vote. It may just turn into apathy, and people just won't be bothered to go and vote at all.
But looking at the incidents where voters themselves have been said to be threatened, in particular in Harungwe West, where they were of views that, people were told that we'll know exactly how you vote. This level of, electioneering that, of course, has occurred in Zimbabwe before, does that have an implication to how Zimbabweans will respond to what happens?
Well, I think it has very... very sad echoes of what happened in 2008, when there was unprecedented election violence visited on the supporters of the opposition. And there's no question about that. It's been very, very well documented. After the first round results came out, after, as it has to be said, a long and suspicious delay, there was this campaign of political violence against the opposition. And I think that did ZANU-PF enormous harm in the eyes of a lot of Zimbabweans. So I guess the corollary of that now is if, the party itself is factionalized and one faction is saying, well, we have the means to force you to vote for us. I don't think that's going to go down very well. I mean, Zimbabwean voters are astute characters. They have a clear awareness of what's going on in the country, what's wrong with the country, and I don't think they're going to be, battered into submission like that.
That was Africa Confidential magazine editor Patrick Smith speaking with Studio 7 from London.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts of the Women's Roundtable Forum will be talking with experts and listeners about women's savings clubs in Zimbabwe.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Alleged human rights abuses in Zimbabwe are now straining relations between Zimbabwe and the European Union, which recently removed targeted sanctions imposed on some members of the ruling party.
Expelled ZANU-PF lawmaker Themba Mliswa says ousted former Vice President Joyce Mujuru is failing to protect her supporters who were booted out of the ruling party for allegedly planning to topple President Robert Mugabe.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.